We all went through the Vietnam thing. We all paid a price for it. Whether we were in the war or against the war, there was no getting around the havoc that war threw everybody's life into, who got anywhere near it.
Carl Oglesby was a leader of the student anti-war movement that spread across the United States in the 1960s. In 1965, Oglesby was named President of Students for a Democratic Society, or SDS, one of the leading groups that encouraged and coordinated anti-war activities on college and university campuses. He was 30 years old then, married with three children. He had just bought a new house and was studying at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor with the hope of launching a career as a playwright. To support his family, Oglesby worked as a technical writer for the Bendix Corporation, a defense contractor.
Because of my work behind a secret clearance, I suppose I knew a little bit more about what was actually happening on the ground in Vietnam than other people did. I knew that there was a real big interest in the Pentagon in Vietnam and a lot of energy towards pushing it into a bigger and bigger war. And then, you know, one thing and another happened, and I got connected up with SDS. Then as the war became clearly more important and the political fight about the war grew in drama and intensity, my wife and I made the decision that I just couldn't keep that job.
It was a decision that changed Oglesby's life. As president of SDS, he was constantly on the road, attending anti-war rallies, teach-ins, and strategy meetings around the country. Eventually, the pressures of the anti-war movement caused his marriage to fall apart. Today, Oglesby lives alone in a small apartment in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He makes a living as a freelance writer, focusing mainly on great tragedies of the 1960s, the war in Vietnam, and the assassination of President John Kennedy. Oglesby is bitter about those who were killed or injured in the war and about those who were psychologically scarred in the effort to halt the conflict.
My friends from the 60s, whose lives got torn up the way mine did by the same forces, are still living torn up lives. Nobody has ever said, let's have a day for the anti-war movement. Nobody has ever said, hey, these guys saw the problem early and described it accurately and showed a little courage in being willing to stand up to the government. No one has said anything like that. You know, the wounded drag themselves off to huddle over their bottles and their memories on both sides of the line of battle.
Following the Gulf War in 1990, President George Bush declared that the Vietnam Syndrome was over. To some Americans, that meant the nation had finally lived down its military defeat in Vietnam, which is often blamed on the anti-war movement. But to others, especially peace activists, it suggested that the nation had decided that enough time had passed and it could now ignore many of the lessons of the Vietnam era. Scholars of American involvement in Vietnam generally agree that a great deal more can be learned from the war. But the suggestion that peace protesters deserve the same kind of recognition as those who risked their lives on the battlefield is not widely accepted. Kali Tal is the editor of Vietnam Generation, a scholarly journal that makes a point of publishing views of the war that are unconventional and sometimes unpopular. Tal says she can't accept the notion that fighting against the war left the same emotional scars as fighting in it.
I love it when the war becomes an experience. Like, what is an experience? This is a war. And it becomes the experience of a generation instead of a war that particular men went to and particular men fought and particular men carry wounds from, and women, and came home and still bear those wounds today. It's taken away from them. It's not even their experience anymore. It becomes all of our experience.
The Vietnam War period was a kind of civil war in this country.
John Schultz is the author of The Chicago Conspiracy Trial, a new book about one of the most highly publicized clashes between the anti-war movement and the U.S. government. Like Carl Oglesby, Schultz believes that anti-war protesters deserve some recognition for their efforts to end the war. And Schultz says now, more than ever, they have a chance of getting it.
Many of the anti-war activists have done very well. And in a sense, the election of Clinton, one of them is now president of the United States, possesses a potential undercurrent of recognition that this may be possible in this country now, or it may be soon possible, or it may be something that the mainstream of this country can consider.
Schultz also believes the peace activists who are most successful today are those who have put aside their leftist ideology and have learned to live with the political mainstream. But to the degree that those who were in the anti-war movement still believe in their cause, they remain on the fringe. They are continually frustrated by what they see as the nation's unwillingness to learn from the mistakes made in the Vietnam War. This at a time when public opinion polls show that an overwhelming majority of Americans believe that, as a result of the war, the U.S. government became more responsive to the opinions of the American people. For the Christian Science Monitor, this is John Rudolph reporting.